Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy morning to you. Happy cloudy Saturday. Happy 2016. And I know you're thinking seriously about your health. Today, part two of what we started last week, the art and science of stretching. Why do I do this show? Why am I doing something I never thought I'd be doing? I wanted at one point to stick strictly to nutrition. That's fascinating enough as it is. But why? Why? Why did I become a chiropractor first? Cleveland Chiropractic College, 1994. Class valedictorian. Why did I start there and end up here? Well, the bottom line is this: your symptom, your illness, your disease, your pursuit for radiant health demands that you understand the art and science of stretching. And in the parlance of our culture, we think delusionally that we can simply open a book and get on a YouTube and watch people move their body, and we just do the same thing and we're stretching. No, we're not. If we are stretching, we're not getting more flexible. And there's a huge difference between stretching and getting flexible. I'm going to make what I think is a simple analogy. You should get this analogy. An actor that reads the lines on a script, just reads them like you would read them, you who are an accountant or a lawyer. An actor who would just read the lines on a script and call that a performance would find out what? That he'd live in unemployment most of his life. You understand? The actor has to inhabit the part. He has to connect the words on the page to his being, his body, his soul. That's what the art of stretching is about. I want you to take that in. And in my typically unpolitical way, or politically incorrect way, take a moment to take that into yourself. So this is my gripe. Not a gripe. This is my constructive love criticism. Most of us are learning to stretch the way an actor just reads lines in that boring, monotonous way that keeps him unemployed. Most people that stretch don't get the job done. Just because you're in the position and you feel some tension has very little to do with the art and science of stretching. I submit that to you. And I submit this across the board to my fellow doctors, to the yogics, to the Pilates instructors, to all my patients, students, and so on and so forth. We're missing it. Let's change that. Now, I did show one last week. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. There is no show like this in America. I kid you not. The attempt to do this on radio rather than in a classroom is not what we call a politically correct or financially intelligent move. But nonetheless, I persevere. Because radio, if you get into the soul of your listener, of your audience, all right, is one of the best ways to communicate. And we do it with pictures. So if you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, that's with two T's, and look at the pictures and connect my words and my experience to these pictures and make 2016 a better year for you. So the first claim, stretching fixes organ problems. Stretching's not just for your low back or your neck or your joints. Stretching is to help organs heal. Now, I'm going to connect that claim to the science. So let's begin. Little review from last week. Let's go to picture number one. Now, look at picture number one. There's a gentleman with a bunch of postures. The claim here is that all those postures are not healthy postures, the sway back, the lordosis, the kyphosis, the forward head posture. You see how many different positions that spine can take. And only the guy on the right has some semblance of it, except, of course, you see, I'll just critique it for you in a subtle way. That gentleman there in the good posture picture, that's not good posture. You know why? Well, because he's imposing that posture. That's not that young man's natural posture, but we'll forget that. That's kind of what a good posture looks like, certainly much better than the other four. Now, let's look at picture number two. That's the position of the spine. Some of the various positions of the spine. The third one in, that you'd call that a kyphosis and a hyperlordosis. The fourth one in, from the left in, you'd call that even more of a kyphosis and more of a lordosis. Picture number two, well, that's a scoliosis. So on and so forth. There's lots of ways that spine can swivel. And all of that swiveling, that imbalance, is largely a product of tensions that you must address through your muscular system into the spine. Now, concept. Go to picture number four. If you're stacked up, and that's a picture from Rolf, Ida Rolf, and this is an attempt to teach you, my wonderful audience, students, so on and so forth, to teach you the reality of the way people live, the reality of their musculoskeletal pain, the reality of their disease, their organ dysfunction. The person on the right is you at 20, and the person on the left is you at 40 or 50 or 60 and definitely 70. All your parts are not connected correctly, so that the gravity lines, the force vectors from your head through your joints, through your muscles, is all twisted up. And that has a correspondingly powerful negative influence on your organs. If your body's twisted, your organs are twisted. If your organs are twisted, you cannot drain the lymph. You cannot drain the venous blood. You can't even bring the arterial perfusion in, and you definitely will not get the full nerve effect. Nerve, artery, vein, lymph. Nerve, artery, vein, and lymph coming in and leaving your organs in a connective tissue sheath will be unduly, irreverently, harmfully twisted if you look like the person on the left in picture number four. Now, I'm going to make that statement come to life. Again, that will be attacked as a non-scientific statement. Well, empirically speaking, that is an extremely scientific statement. But if you want to run a double-blind placebo study in a model that our medicine wasn't designed to fit, well, you're going to come up short. First of all, you've got to get people who are capable of getting through that transformation. And right there, your study's not going to have enough people. And we won't get into this today. But you make no mistake about it when you turn the radio off today that this is science, and it's hard science. It's the kind of science that should be in our hospitals. It should be taught in all our schools. It should be taught to all our physicians. That structure determines function. That if your structure is imbalanced, your function will dysregulate. All right, let's turn this more to life. All right. Look at picture number five. And you saw these guys last week. The woman on the left and the woman on the right. That woman has shifted her alignment through a variety of therapies. That woman on the left will now do this. Go to picture number six. You're going to have to really use that computer today. Picture six. Look at picture six. Look at the guy on the left. I assume that's a guy. You see how he's slumped over? And you see how that other guy is standing straight? Well, the difference between the guy on the left and the guy on the right is the guy on the left, all the muscles of his back are pulling him up so he doesn't fall on his face. The guy in picture number six has all the muscles of his back pulling him straight up so he doesn't fall on his face. And that's energy. And he feels that as stress. He feels that as structural stress. Those muscles, guy on the left, on his back, erector spinae, are twisted and tight. And they're working overtime and they hurt. And those muscles go from his sacrum to the top of his neck. The guy on the right there in the green, he's free of that. He doesn't have, and so we're introducing the concept here of structural stress. Now, we mentioned that last week, but I want you to work with that concept. I want you to stretch, and then I want you to release your muscles, and then I want you to tell me that you can feel your body move much more lightly. I want you to tell me that your weight has shifted to your heels. I want you to tell me that the weight has shifted from your toes to your heels. I want you to tell me that you're walking upright effortlessly, that you don't have to impose the perfect posture on yourself simply because you stretched effectively. And if you're doing that, lo and behold, you will be getting more flexible. If not, you're going to look like the guy on the left and much, much, much worse. Look at picture number three. Look at under the 42 pounds there on picture number three. By the way, so I can get most of this in today, we're going to really rock and roll. You don't need necessarily to blow up each picture. Okay, if your speeds are fast enough, definitely blow the picture up. If not, don't sweat, because I'm going to move around today, especially since the first 20 minutes of the show are a review, basically. But a much-needed review, wouldn't you all agree? So, picture number three there. Look at that person on the extreme right. That's you? Or picture number under 32 pounds, the guy in the middle. That may be you, or you may be in between that, or you may be in between the first and the second picture. Either way, you have shifted. Now, here's the problem. I'll put it to you graphically. Go to picture 18. Scroll down to picture 18. Those are the erector spinae muscles. Those muscles are moving from your low back in a big fascial knot called the lumbosacral fascia all the way up to the top of your neck. That band of muscles, there's five layers of muscles on the back, and that band of muscle, the minute you start looking like Mr. Red on the left there, like picture six, the minute you start tipping forward, those erector spinae are in a constant state of spasm, all the way to a constant state of shock. Now that's it. Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, Yoga, Feldenkrais, Alexander Technique, these were higher order massage concepts. They were manipulative therapies, chiropractic, osteopathic. They were all manipulative therapies that said if you didn't straighten out that posture through the therapy, you would always live with structural stress. Now, without being critical, how many people are actually actively engaged in that? Yoga, Pilates, dance, Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu. We don't have enough of a consciousness that the purpose for you all in these classes over time is to straighten out that posture. And if you're not, it's because you don't know what you're doing. So I got to say it. It's good that you do it. It's better than nothing. But there's something divine about shifting a posture that relates to the organ systems. And I want you to experience that. Okay, now let's go to that muscle, the psoas muscle. Go to picture number 10. Oh no, not the psoas once again. I know, it seems like I never start clamoring about that psoas muscle. I'm going to keep doing it because I know the amount of time it takes to really understand what I'm saying. And that's not politically correct. What our culture wants generally is just a little bit. Give me the cliff notes. The book I want to write is Cliff Note Culture. Everything has been marginalized down to a cliff note. Just give me a couple of lines and let me move to something else. And if you watch the way the intellect grows, it grows very similar to a computer. It grows with a lot of data and no real complex understanding of any of it. You got to think about that. So we're going to take our time here, and we're going to take a look at the psoas muscle again. Now there it is in picture number 10. That's part of your posterior abdominal wall. Let's look at an isolated picture of the psoas. Let's go up to picture number 8. Now there it is. One end of it's attached to five lumbar vertebrae. The other end is attached to the inside of your thigh. It's the big daddy. It runs the show. It's the supervisor. It's at the root of everything. It is the premier muscle. It's like when you dissect it. In chiropractic school, I dissected over 100 bodies. I even ran the dissection lab for a while. I had some amazing teachers. Dr. Francisco Chavez. He took his MD and took his master's degree and towards his PhD in anatomy. Wonderful man. And we were friends. And he'd give me the keys to the lab. And I'd go in there by myself and dissect and dissect and dissect. It was the essence of that education, to put your hands on these muscles. When you look at a psoas muscle, underneath the belly, underneath the organs of a full-sized man, it's like looking the first day you ever saw a redwood tree in Northern California. You're in shock as to the enormity and power of that muscle that you're looking at. And this is why Ida Rolf devoted so much of her life to the psoas muscle. So that muscle's got two ends, the lumbar spine, and it's into your femur. Now, look at picture 7. There's a normal psoas muscle, and there's a shortened psoas muscle. Picture 7. Because you don't stretch it, because you don't know how to stretch it, because you think you're stretching it and you're not stretching it, because you are stretching it, but it's not getting more flexible. So bing, bing, bing. Write that down. Structural stress. Bing, bing, bing. Write that down. Effective stretching of the psoas means it gets more flexible. Don't be the actor that just goes into the pose and says, I did the job. Unless the muscles are getting flexible, you're stretching incorrectly or something's wrong. Look at picture number 9. Picture number 9. Blow that picture up. Take a look at picture 9. Now there's the psoas muscle. The guy on the left has a shortened psoas muscle. The guy on the right has a competent psoas muscle. The guy on the right has a functional psoas muscle. He has a psoas muscle that works. When the thigh muscle gets short, and the psoas muscle gets short, those muscles are synergists. The psoas muscle comes forward, it pulls down the rib cage, it brings your head forward, it gives you an exaggerated lumbar curve, and it puts all your weight through the wrong part of your joint. And it crushes your organs. As that psoas muscle moves anterior, your organs get crushed. And as they get crushed, they don't work right. Take all the herbs you want. Get all the surgeries you want. If the structure's defective, the function will be burdened tremendously. This is the whole point about the anterior displacement of the psoas. For those of you, yes, 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 I get it, I get it. Just tell me what to do. I want part of the theme of this show to be, look, I'm the guy that's watched people for 20 years. I've watched a few succeed and do the miracles. I've watched most fail. I've watched the masses of America. Do not think holistic medicine is presently in any sort of an accelerated growth, because it isn't. And the reason is you've got 10 to 15 to 20% of the population that dance with it, and the other 80% still consider it quackery. I mean, this is common sense. Just take my statement to your family. You're the one in the family that believes in this stuff. You're the one in the family that listens to nutrition shows. You're the one in the family that listens to these types of shows. How many in your family are into this? And now you understand what I'm saying. Those ratios really have not changed. And there's a reason for it. You can't learn holistic medicine as a cookbook, just give me the cliff notes. You have to understand it. Because in the end, it demands time, it demands energy, and it demands money. And when you're putting out time and energy and money, when you're rearranging your life to take care of your health, rather than fitting it in under the rug, like just doing it because somebody told you you needed to or it's a surgery, when you look at it like that, it doesn't work. It works when it's a complete change in your being. To do that, you have to bring knowledge to it. You can't just do it with faith. And this is the theme of the show. Bring your knowledge, the depth of your intelligence, and therefore you have to get educated. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're lost and you can't integrate the pieces, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. You've got health concerns. You've got illnesses. You've got problems. You've tried everybody else. This, that, and the other thing. If you don't put yourself together with me, I assure you, you're going to know why. 714-850-1007. This stuff really works. Health works. Okay. Anterior displacement of the psoas. Now, let's take a look at the organ systems. And let's just take a peek at picture 9 again. Picture 9 again. As that psoas comes forward, it crushes the lower part of your abdominal cavity. So if you're looking at picture number 9, where it says psoas muscle, psoas, picture 9, where that arrow points to the guy with the belly, that space is being crushed because his psoas has gone anterior. Go up to picture 7. When the normal psoas muscle becomes the shortened psoas muscle, picture 7, do you see how that belly starts to stick out? The lumbar spine increases its curve? Now I'm going to show you what this means with your organs. Watch this. Go down to picture 11. Now look at picture 11. Look at picture 11 and think of picture 7 and 9. Think of picture 7 and 9 and look at picture 11. Now picture 11, you can't see the psoas muscle. This is called a sagittal cut. You cut somebody in half and you're looking at them from the side. But those are all the organs. Now, way down by the penis and testicles, just come up a little bit to the bladder. Behind the bladder is the rectum. Those big circles, right? They look like little spaghettis. That's all the intestines. So down there, just above the penis and the testicles, in the lower abdomen, we're looking now at that picture, right? We're looking at picture number 11. In that area, if you compress that, as you increase the lumbar curve, if you compress the area above the testicles, rectum, bladder, not seeing it, of course, but in a woman, uterus and ovaries, look at that man's prostate. Look at all those little loopy bowels there. If you increase the lumbar curve in that individual, picture number 11, can you see how you're going to crush that area? Now, Ida Rolf lectured prolifically on this topic. The psoas muscle owns the organ systems. Its anterior displacement crushes the organs. You got it. Now, go to picture 15. I'm feeling you. I know you got this. You're really getting it now. Really, really getting it. This is how getting flexible, not stretching, getting flexible, not stretching, but stretching and getting flexible and changing your alignment. So look at all the qualifiers there. Not stretching, stretching and getting flexible. Not stretching and getting flexible, but stretching, getting flexible and shifting your alignment. When you shift the alignment, it means the psoas goes back into place and the organs start to have more space. They have more space because they need more space. Why do they need more space? Because God stuffed them together. God made the abdominal cavity the way Steve Jobs made the iPhone. There ain't no space in there. You know that great story of Steve Jobs when they were designing the first iPhones. He wanted it smaller and smaller. And finally, when his staff tore their hair out, because Jobs was tough, when they tore their hair out because they just couldn't make it smaller, Jobs took an iPhone and he dumped it into a little fish tank. And a couple of bubbles rose to the surface and he walked out. Meaning, it's got air in there. Get it smaller. That's the way your abdominal cavity is. It's stuffed tight. And in between everything, so go to picture 15. All that goo, picture 15. All that yellow stuff is fascia. Between the intestines is that yellow stuff, the pancreas. Look at 15. Blow up 15. If you can blow up 15. You see that thing dead center there? It looks like cotton candy. That's your pancreas. That pancreas is tied through fascia, connective tissue. It's tied to the transverse colon. It's tied to the spleen. It's tied to the large intestine. You see that green thing there? That's your gallbladder. Follow the gallbladder to where it gets thin. That's the neck of the gallbladder. That's tied up in fascia. Look at the liver. And underneath the liver, you see the intestine? You see those little clips of connective tissue between the liver and the duodenum of the small intestine? That's more fascia. Now go to the left side of the picture where you see the colon, the transverse colon. That transverse colon there, it's called the hepatic flexure. Okay? That's connected to your duodenum. It's connected to your liver. You can't see this, gang, but it's connected to your kidneys, which are behind all this. Everything is connected to everything. This is why, write this down, there's no such thing as stretching one body part. This is another thing. You go to the chiropractor, he shows you how to stretch your neck because your pain's in your neck. You go to somewhere else, they tell you how to. You go to the physical therapist, she shows you how to stretch your low back because the pain's in the low back. This is nonsense. Through the fascial connectivity, everything is connecting to everything. This was Ida Rolf's point. This was Feldenkrais's point. Anybody that understands the body, from Pilates to the yogic, so on, knows everything's connected to everything. You can't simply focus on one body segment. Take that into yourself. Take in picture 15. If you don't have a subscription, would you please get a subscription? It's $25 for 245 shows. If I'm not worth $25 for 245 shows, I'm going to go to law school. I need to do something else. If you don't get this deeply enough, get on my website, straighttalk.cc, purchase a subscription, and get into this stuff, because you're not going to hear it this way anywhere else. I don't know anyone that puts it together like me. Sorry, I just don't. So take advantage of it. 245 shows, $24.95. Take a look at this stuff. It's a compilation of a lot of things whittled down to essence. And the essence right now is, don't just stretch it, get it flexible. Don't just get it flexible, shift your alignment. Don't just shift your alignment. Understand that in there, you have organs that are decompressing. And that allows nerve, vein, artery, and lymph to flow. Okay. Now, last week, I started talking to you about the psoas muscle. Go to picture number 19. There's a stretch for the psoas muscle. But you're not going to succeed at the stretch to the psoas unless you stretch your quads. This is one of the big myths. You walk into your massage therapist. You walk into your chiropractor's office. You walk into your dance studio. You go to your yoga class. Whatever you do, and you utter this word psoas. Oh, yes, we know how to stretch the psoas muscle. Oh, yes, we saw a psoas stretch on YouTube. Here's the thing. You're not getting to the psoas unless you get to your quadriceps first. Go to picture 26. There, picture 26. By the time you're starting to stretch that way, do you see the top of her right foot? It's down. Do you see how the knee is at least approximating the rug? If those quads are too tight, she can't do that. If you can't do that, your quadriceps are too tight, your thigh muscles. That young lady knows what she's doing. That young lady is getting the stretch into her groin. If you stretch your body and you don't feel it in the groin, and you don't feel the groin relaxing, and you don't feel the tension in that groin going away, and you don't feel over time that that stretch is easier and easier and easier, if you've been basically at the same place for weeks, if not months, then guess what? There's something wrong with the way you're stretching. There is definitely something wrong with the way you're stretching. And I see people fail at this all the time. Not some of the time, the vast percentages of the time. So, when you talk about the psoas, what do I do for my psoas is your very, very rational question. How do I get to my psoas? Another concept. This is a show of clinical pearls. You have to get to your quadricep first. So you got to start that way. And if you can't start that way, you have to find something else, because you may have to be gradually and slowly led up to that level. You may have to get to that level starting with another kind of stretch. So picture number 25, that's an easier stretch. Now that picture is not as, that gentleman there, picture 25, he's not stretching as effectively. So now we're going to talk about the types of stretching. The woman in picture 26 is doing a passive stretch. Write this down. A passive stretch. She can relax into that stretch. And once you're relaxing, rather than doing a forcing stretch, the guy in 25 is in a more precarious position. The guy in 25 has to use more of his muscles to hold the stretch. The minute you have to use more muscles to hold the stretch, you're hurting yourself. I don't mean hurting yourself physically. I mean it's not as effective. When you're talking about stretching a muscle, you're talking about stretching a body part in a very, very passive way. You're talking about stretching in a very, very passive way. And that woman there in 26 is passive. The gentleman in 25, he has to hold himself up. So that is a non-passive way to stretch. Now look at 21, picture 21. That person is really trying to get into the groin. And she looks like she's doing it. And that stretch is very passive. So concept, always go for the passive stretch, meaning don't put your body in a position where you have to strain your arms, your back, other muscles so that you can get to the stretch. That is a less effective stretch. So you're talking about the difference between a passive stretch and an active stretch. In yoga, we call it the yin pose. Always do the yin pose or the passive pose before you do anything. If you can do a passive pose, you do a passive pose. Now look at picture number 20. Now that young man is flexible enough in his quadriceps to get to the groin. He's flexible enough in his quadriceps to get to the groin. And because he's flexible enough in his quadriceps and he's in his groin, he's doing a wonderful stretch there. That's another fairly passive stretch. He can fall asleep. If he has his alignment, he can fall asleep in that stretch. If you're in that stretch and you're heeing and you're hawing and you're falling over and you're sweating and your leg is shaking, don't do that stretch. If you're under the delusion that you're stretching your psoas, but your quad is killing you in that stretch, go to a much, much easier stretch, because you're never going to get to the psoas unless you stretch the quadriceps first. The quadriceps, go to picture 23. Picture 23. That's what I mean by the quadriceps. Picture 23, and you'll see that picture will swirl around. That's your main thigh muscle. Picture 23 is your main thigh muscle. Picture 23 is your rectus femoris of the quadriceps. And that quadricep, that's in synergy with the psoas. Picture 23 is in synergy with the psoas muscle. They do the same thing. So to get to the psoas first, you got to get to the quads like that young lady. All right, good. You're getting it. We love it. Picture 27. That's the foam roller. I got into that last week. Picture 28, that's the foam roller. Look at the guy on picture 28. Blow that up. Now that guy's stretching his thoracic spine. That's a stretch for the thoracic spine. His butt is on the floor. His arms are over his head. And that forces the thoracic spine. And he can sleep there if he wants. The foam roller, the health bridge, anything that will allow you to passively take a stance like that and just relax into it over time is what you're talking about. That's not an active pose. It's a passive pose. Now, if you're doing it right, when you come out of that stretch and you stand up, a quad stretch, a psoas stretch, when you're using the foam roller, when you're using a health bridge, when you stretch successfully like that, and you stand up, what you're going to feel is your weight shift into your heels. You're going to feel your body stand up straight. And over time, you're going to get more and more flexible, meaning when you do it, you're going to stretch deeper and it's going to be less painful. And it should never be painful, only pleasantly painful, at most pleasantly painful. Now, if you're doing this and you're not getting the postural shift, because that's what I'm talking about, a postural shift. If over a period of days, weeks, months, you don't see a shift in the way you hold your body, something's wrong. And this is a standard we've got to hold ourselves to, because these stretches are on their way to your organ systems. These stretches are on your way to your organ systems, and that's where the pathology lives. Now, when you start to take it to the higher levels, I'll just do one, and then we're going to move on. Look at picture number 29. Yes, that should be you at 90 years old. That is a place to go. Do not think you can't. It may take you a year or two or 3 years. But backbend, a reasonable backbend. So let's look at picture 30. Look at picture 30, not 29. There. Some of you remember that. Gymnasts, dancers, yogics, martial artists, cheerleaders. In that pose, you're stretching deeply. And if I were talking to that woman in picture 30, in picture 29, what would I say to her? I would say, excuse me, when you come out of that pose, do you feel like your body's in a different position? If I was talking to the woman on picture 29 or 30, I would ask her, do you feel a shift in your gravity line? Now, I'm going to get technical and subtle with you so you really understand. Just because you stretch the muscle and just because you show you have some flexibility doesn't mean it shifts neurologically. It doesn't mean you're going to get the result. The result is in the release. Okay, if you've been listening to the last 35 minutes, then I just spun your head. I'm going to make a claim. So the plot thickens. But this is the art and science of stretching, part two. The woman in 29 and the woman in 30, they may stretch like that because they may be flexible. But when they come out of it, they don't feel a release of tension. You can be flexible and not feel a release of tension. Unless the alignment shifts. Do you realize that those two people there, 29, 30, and 31, they may have sway backs. They may have lumbar lordosis. They may be kyphotic. They may have anterior head carriage. They may have never shifted their alignment. They may have only gotten flexible. So let's review this. Don't just stretch, get flexible. Don't just get flexible, shift your alignment. Have the physical experience of shifting your alignment. And if you are, you're going to feel a release in the tension of the tissue. Okay, so we're putting some qualifiers on here. There are stipulations in the game if you want the divine result. Because unless you feel the release, the autonomic nervous system isn't shifting into the parasympathetic state. I told you, stretching is an art and a science. Stretching is an art and a science. And that word release is the feeling you get when you hug somebody. That word release is the feeling when somebody massages your hands or your feet. That feeling of release is what the dog experiences when they pet the dog. What the cat experiences when you pet the cat. Animals, children. Day to day, you have these little moments of release. That's what you have to magnify when you stretch important muscles in the body. That's what you have to magnify. If you magnify the release to a critical state, to critical mass, it's telling you that the organs are beginning to separate. And this is the key here. If you're shifting the gravity lines, the back pain, the neck pain, the knee pain, the ankle pain, is being heavily supported. Good picture number 32. Now there's a person in a back bend, but they're bending in the wrong part of the spine, the back bend. or even when you're on a health bridge or a foam roll, you don't bend into the low back. You bend into the thoracics. So there's technique here. There's technique, some of which we can discuss, some of which we can't discuss. There's a real art and a science to stretching. Okay, psoas, thoracic spine. Let's look at a few other areas. Let's go down. Let's come all the way down and look at the hamstring. So we're going to take another muscle. We took the psoas. We took the thoracic spine. We gave you a good, strong argument for what's behind a competent stretch. We asked you to understand, really, the claim that stretching is the beginning, step by step, to stretching out the spaces in between the organs. Let's keep going. Let's talk about the hamstring. Everybody knows the hamstring. Picture 63. There on the left, the hamstrings. Semitendinous, semimembranous muscle, biceps femoris. That picture there. Okay. You're looking at picture number 53 there. Hang on 1 second. Make sure you isolate those muscles. Just give you guys a second so you know where you are. Okay. So we're looking at picture number 53. Okay, those hamstrings. Excuse me, not picture 53. My mistake. We're looking at picture 63. The hamstring. Now let's take one of those hamstrings out at a time. Look at picture 64. Blow up picture 64. You're looking at the hamstring. The hamstring is three different muscles. The hamstring is the biceps femoris, the semimembranous, and the semitendinous muscle. The hamstring is the biceps femoris, the semimembranous, and the semitendinous muscle. Now let's put them all together, and then you're looking at picture 63, the hamstring. Now let's take a look at some of the hamstring stretches. Let's get subtle about hamstring stretches now. Look at picture 59. Picture 59, someone's trying to stretch their hamstrings. That is an inferior stretch. The reason it's an inferior stretch is because he's using a strap. And when you use a strap, you have to actively engage another part of the body. You can't really rest because you're pulling your leg back. You're straining your neck, your arms, your abdomen. That is a very different stretch than picture 58. Look at the gentleman on picture 58. Look at the woman on picture 57. In 58 and 57, those two people, that young man and that young woman, they can fall asleep in that stretch. Now, the woman is doing it in a superior way than the man. Because you see, the back is straight. When the back is straight, you're going to isolate into that hamstring. And she can just sit there and push. And he can just sit there and push. And picture 59 can sit there and push, except he's got to contract his upper body. And picture 60 is someone who's having somebody else stretch them. When somebody else stretches you, that's a double-edged coin. It's kind of good. Because if the person stretching you really knows how to stretch, they'll push you further than your brain will allow you to push yourself. And if that person that's assisting you in a passive stretch, picture 60, knows what they're doing, they can push you more deeply than you would push you. And they can do it successfully. But there's a problem. There's a problem when people stretch you. You don't develop your sense of the edge. So let's talk about the edge in a stretch. The edge is something that you have to evolve to in your body. When you're stretching and it feels tight, and then you're stretching a little more and it feels tighter, and then you're stretching a little more and you start to feel like this is just too much, and you back off a little bit, and then you don't feel like it's enough, and then you intensify a little because you feel like you need to, but then you intensify a little and it's too much. When you go back and forth and back and forth to get the stretch into the good stretch, into the good pain part of the stretch, good pain. It's uncomfortable, but you know it's going to let go. We call that the edge. I'm telling you, from watching people for 20 years, the essence of stretching is really a neurological evolution to the edge. The essence of stretching. I have seen people as tight as they come, and because they have a good sense of how to finesse the edge, I watch them consistently make profound gains in a couple of months. And I watch people who may take years, who are always falling too short of the edge or exceeding the edge. So write this down. The essence of the stretch is finding your edge. Your edge is where you're pushing gently the tension that you ordinarily wouldn't release otherwise. In other words, the edge is the point at which you've finessed that place that you wouldn't really want to go, but you went there anyway, and then you found out it was a good place to go. Come on. You know this. Men, you know it from lifting weights. When you're lifting 50 pounds and you put another 5 pounds on the rack, that first thrust doesn't feel good. When you're really going for gain, you're not sure if you're going to be able to lift it. And you bear down and you focus and you contract with greater integrity. And then early on, right in the first 5 or 10% of the contraction, something inside you tells you that you're going to meet that demand or not. Guys, think about that. Ladies, think about that. When you're out there running and you're at 2 miles and you want to go another lap, well, you've done 5 sprints and you want to go a 6th. And something inside you tells you you can, and in that first 10% of the action, you know you got it. That's the edge in a stretch. The edge is where all things change. The edge is where you bring your attention to your tendon. Stretching the tendon of the muscle to the edge is the art of the stretch. Stretching the tendon of the muscle to the edge, waiting there passively, taking some breath, relaxing into your edge is the art of it. Isolating into the tendon is the art of it. Write that stuff down. That's what people don't do. This is why people don't progress to their potential. Because they don't have a sense of how to meet that edge in a stretch. So let's talk about that edge a little bit. Okay? Let's talk about that edge a little bit. Now, here's the thing. The edge in a stretch means you're touching a tendon. You're isolating a tendon. A tendon is where the muscle meets the bone. The tendon is where the muscle meets the bone. Okay, so let's go to picture number 34. Picture 34. There's the pectoralis muscle. We discussed this muscle last week. That white area on the muscle at the ends. One end of it is at the coracoid process of the scapula, of the shoulder blade. The other end, that white end, is on the rib cage. When you're stretching, there's a phase where you'll stretch the middle of the muscle. The art of stretching is to isolate the tendon. Write that one down. The art of stretching is to isolate the tendon. Isolating the tendon, finding the tendon, feeling the tendon, being able to know when you're in the tendon. Because at the tendon is where things change. When you're stretching the tendon, you shift your alignment. Now, where do the tendons live? The tendons always live in the joint of the muscle, at the joints. So let's talk about the calf now. Let's talk about the calf. So I want you to mosey on down to picture number 51. Go to picture 51. Picture 51, that gentleman is stretching his calf muscle. Now I want you to look at the calf muscle. Go to picture 65. Yep, you got to move around. Go to picture 65. That's the calf muscle. You see that white towards your heel? That's the Achilles tendon. That's where the calf attaches to the foot, at the Achilles tendon. Now, when you stretch your calf, go look at that gentleman again. Go look at that gentleman in 51. Don't blow it up because I'm going to really move here. Look at 51. He's stretching his calf. Now look at 52. Look at picture 52. You see that individual? That individual in 52 is never going to be able to stretch that Achilles tendon, because that Achilles tendon is so thick that it's going to lock out that stretch. The guy in 51, his heels are on the ground. The guy in 51, he can relax into that pose with the heel on the ground, and he can manipulate the back of his leg to really bring the stretch into the Achilles tendon. You can stretch the belly of the calf, so get down to 65. You can stretch the belly of the muscle, but you have to bring it into the tendon. Unless you feel the comfortable burn into the tendon, you're not going to shift your alignment. Unless you feel the comfortable burn into the tendon, you're not going to feel your alignment. No matter how you manipulate your stretch, unless you can passively relax into the tendon at the joint space, you're not going to shift your alignment. Now, that woman there that I pointed out, look at 55, 53, 52 and 55. 52 and 55, those are two classic calf stretches that at some point early on are never going to give either one of those young ladies the result. Because in 52, that Achilles tendon is so thick, it's just so thick, that she's never going to be able to passively exert enough force. And the woman on the stairs, no matter how grippy her sneakers are, the wood, the slippery wood of the stairs, will prevent her from engaging the tendon. When that woman on the stairs is in that position, there's a percentage of her body that's holding itself in tension because she's got to make sure she doesn't slip off the stair. This is why stretching on the rug, if you've got to grip something and you're gripping something that doesn't really give you grip, you can never relax into the stretch. Stretching is such an art. It is such an amazing art. Now look at picture 54. Look at picture 54. There's a woman that's stretching the calf correctly. Why? Look at picture 54. You see how that woman's heels are on the floor? You see how her foot is at that incline? That woman can put all her weight into her heels and just stand there. That woman could stand there and hold a stairwell. She could hold the wall. She could hold her friend. She could hold a chair. But all her weight would be passively exerted into the heel. You can't do that on 55 because you're balancing yourself. You can't do that on 52 because your heels aren't on the floor. You can do it on 51. But 51 doesn't quite have the power of 54. Now, 53, that's downward dog in yoga. 53 and 54 are superior stretches. 56 is a superior stretch to the hamstring. Why? There's no strap. It's passive. Once that upper body, we're looking at 56 now. Don't bother blowing these up. You guys understand what we're doing here. You're learning the art. You're going to have to get on this again. I understand that. It's a lot to take in. I understand that. That's why I post these shows, so you can listen and listen and listen. There isn't a word in the last 53 minutes that I wasted. Not a word, not an utterance, not a sentence, not a comma. That's 20 years of in-depth experience with sick people, all sorts of musculoskeletal atrocities, and watching people work their way into the release. 53 has to release. 54 has to release. 55 will never release. 52 will not release. 56 will release. 56, that's a ballet bar. Those are dances on a ballet bar. With that leg up and the upper body just resting on the thigh or approximating the thigh, they can pull that hamstring in a passive way. And they have to develop their proprioception to the muscle to lengthen it. And they're going to finesse that stretch so they feel it behind the knee, so they feel it in the belly of the hamstring. They're going to work the stretch. Working the line of tension is what those women in 56 are going to do. 53, that gentleman is working the line of tension. So there's another pearl. When you stretch, you have to work where you feel the tension. You have to finesse the edge where you feel the tension. All right, let's go back. Let's go back. Don't just stretch it, get it flexible. Don't just get it flexible. Isolate into the tendon. Find the edge and get the release. Without the release, the bones don't shift. If your bones in alignment feel like they're shifting, you're getting the release. Do this on all the muscles. Understand that some muscles block other muscles. It's the domino effect. You can't get to the psoas unless you get to the quads. Understand that a passive stretch is the art of it. Straps, somebody else stretching you, there's pros and cons, but generally you lose too much. You're getting it. You got it. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth of stretching, back pain, neck pain, any pain, 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the medical mayhem and you can't get your situations figured out, integrated, 714-850-1007. If you're not in a position, at least get the subscription. I feel good. Do you feel good? That's a lot. Down to 67 and 68. Somebody tell me what that is. 67, 68. We got a few more moments here. I haven't heard the 1 minute mark yet. I'm going to use every second. 67 and 68. Look at 67, look at 68. Why and what are they doing? You know, that's Nolly. That's where all this is going. Unless you get sufficiently flexible, you can't do Nolly. If you need to understand how to do Nolly, if you think you're capable of doing Nolly, if you're interested in doing Nolly, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Nolly is the point at which the organ separates so well, so efficiently, so magnificently, that it's like putting all your organs through a washer to wash out the muck, the fibrin, the trapped blood, the scars, the adhesions, the infections. All roads lead to Nolly. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.